everyone. This is Judy, co-chair of the media group for prepareforchange.net, and welcome to our radio show for Sunday, March 22nd, 2015. It is my pleasure to introduce our guest in the studio today, Gordon Asher Davidson. He's the co-author of The Practical Visionary and Spiritual Politics and co-founder of the Center for Visionary Leadership. He's been a meditator teaching meditation and courses in spiritual development in the U.S. and Europe for over 35 years. Welcome, Gordon.
Thank you, Judy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And we're doing this interview today via Skype. I am delighted to come across your work. Actually, Gordon, it was at the LA Conscious Life Expo. I met Shima Moore, the manager of the expo, and she...
Oh, she's a friend of mine, yes.
Yes, she told me there were two particular speakers that she wanted me to know about. One was the Stargate, and the other was your book. She actually gave me the postcard for the book, and I have the book right here. Thank you for sending it to me. The book is The Transfiguration of Our World, How a Light Alliance is Transforming Darkness and Creating a New Earth. So for our worldwide listeners, I wanted to just share with them what's on the back of the book. There's a quote by Barbara Marx Hubbard, author of Conscious Evolution. She writes, "It's very important that everyone who's interested in the future of our planet read this book." Another quote by Mark Kriegbaum, filmmaker of Death Makes Life Possible, "A powerful book which will have a tremendous impact on human consciousness." This book provides a stunning and revelatory overview of the causes behind the current world upheaval, the immediate and long-term goals of a well-developed plan of light for the transfiguration of our world, with many practical examples of how it is emerging. It explains how the world is being guided by a co-creative effort of humanity and an interdimensional light alliance. Together, they are transforming the darkness on our planet and supporting the emergence of a civilization based on love, aligned with a higher spiritual plan. That sounds wonderful to me, Gordon.
It is wonderful.
Yes. So, I found the book to be very, very easy to read, and I thought today I'd like to introduce your book to our worldwide Prepare for Change groups. We have many that are springing up all the time, and our team of translators have told me that they would like to translate our interview today into many, many languages. So I'm delighted that is going to happen. Now, could you share with us a little about the source of this book, which you describe as 20 years of contact and inner telepathic guidance from a master in the inner ashram of synthesis?
Yes. This has been something that was just happened for me, began about 20 years ago, and I have been receiving detailed information and guidance both about the world situation and also suggestions and plans for things that I could implement in the world, which I have done. And I have found it to be extremely reliable and very accurate about the situation in the world. And about 2 years ago, I started getting very detailed input about how the world came to be, the situation it's in, what is going on today, the deeper reasons for all the chaos and upheaval, and a whole very big vision for how this is unfolding and where it's moving towards. And that was really intended for me to put that all into a book. Well, I did a teleseminar first with a group of people all over the world. I did several teleseminars, and then we created this book and put all the materials from that into it. So it is, and it was really, I was asked to do this. It was really, I have a pretty mainstream background in social investing and being involved in Washington, D.C. and doing all kinds of things. So this was a huge leap for me to go into this kind of work publicly. I'd done some of it, in a quieter way, but it took a lot of convincing to get me to step out here and do this, but I'm extremely glad I did.
Well, we're extremely glad you did as well. You write in the introduction that the course correction currently being applied by humanity and the spiritual powers working heart to heart and hand to hand together will guide our civilization into a new life for our world, where our planet and all life upon it will be living in alignment with cosmic principles and actively co-creating with galactic life. Now, there is a blog called Portal 2012, and Cobra writes this blog. He has recommended global meditations, and you also have written that worldwide meditations are proliferating all over the world to support and distribute the higher energies pouring into our planet. Is this process working with global meditations, do you think?
Oh, absolutely, it's working. I mean, I think it would be helpful to understand a larger background of why it's so powerful to do these meditations right now. I'm going to give you a little context for that.
Please.
Okay. So what we have is, you know, as you well know, there has been a cabal who has had a major amount of control over our planet for quite a long time, many millennia, actually. And these beings have set up a system of control. This goes back throughout history. And been able to exploit humanity and this planet in a very detailed way for their own advantage. And the spiritual masters have been working throughout history to provide a better vision of how we can move forward and evolve. And the whole situation has really been allowed to continue so that humanity is presented with a choice. We have a choice to go the way of selfishness and greed and all those things, or we can choose to go the path of light and sharing and giving to others. That's the basic choice we've been faced with throughout our evolution. And it's been very beneficial for people to learn from the results of their choices and learn to make better choices in the future. That's really our goal. And so what happened was, with the event of 9/11, which was a very clearly orchestrated event to create more fear and gain more control over our planet by these forces. They actually created the situation where the planet was just about ready to be fully taken over by these forces, because they had passed the Patriot Act, they had control of the media and the financial system and all these things. This is after 9/11. What happened was, because our Earth is a chakra in the body of the greater solar being, because every planet is a chakra in the solar being's body, the condition of our Earth with all this darkness controlling it was preventing the forward evolution and progression of our solar system to a higher level of energy. This is a very important point. So what happened was, after 9/11, at the level of the Solar Council, because there are councils at that level, they looked at the condition of the planet and realized we were not going to be able to free ourselves without some additional support and help. They made a decision, it was called the Solar Decree, to remove the leadership of the dark side off of the planet, which they did. And the way they did this was they gave galactic civilizations the permission to go ahead and take off or turn to the light those beings who were the foundation point of the whole dark side. And they were removed over the relatively soon after 2002. It's been going on for a while. But they have been completely removed, that alien leadership. However, we still then have the human beings who have cooperated with them all these years. They are in process of being awakened and turned and understand what's going on. The other thing the galactics were allowed to do is increase the amount of light and love and powerful spiritual energy they were allowed to radiate to our Earth, and to increase the support they could give directly to help move forward the process of our liberation from this whole control system. That's the reason why, one of the reasons, one of the factors in why there is such an increase in the level of light and energy pouring into this planet. This is a long response to your question, world meditation, but I wanted to give it some context.
No, I appreciate that. So, Gordon, how does the plan that we're in the process of today on Earth parallel the process that Jesus went through called the Transfiguration, the powerful experience that he went through when he was radiant with light on the mountaintop?
Yes, because that idea of transfiguration, which is a description that I've received the way the higher beings talk about this, is that the idea is infusion of light, higher frequencies of light energy, which is called atomic light substance, into our whole being at every level, at the spiritual, the higher mental, the emotional, and the etheric and physical levels. Every level of our being and the planet being infused with this higher frequency light, which raises up the vibration, as you know, of everything and allows us to function at a new level of consciousness where we can actually perceive our unity and recognize we are actually divine beings, divine creators.
And who are the masters and enlightened beings in the spiritual hierarchy?
Well, these are beings who have gone through the human reincarnational experience all the way through, mastered every level of abilities at the etheric physical level, the emotional level, the mental level, and the spiritual level, and they, in a sense, they've graduated. They do no longer have to incarnate. They can create their bodies of manifestation at will, and they are working from these organized inner groups, which we call ashrams, on the inner planes, radiating love, ideas, and organizing and helping to clarify what do we need to do next in our evolutionary process, and giving guidance and suggestions to different people about what they can do to help.
Gordon, hi, this is Dove. I was wondering, you in your book explain about transfiguration, and that seems to be a word that's not as popular, let's say, as transmutation or transformation. Can you explain the difference between those three processes?
Certainly. Transformation is moving at the form level, at the level of our, you know, physical body or our emotional body, mental body, changing the form. So that would mean changing the thought forms that are in our mind, the emotional state that we normally radiate, or the energetic field in our energy body. Moving those form levels of our being to a higher, more inclusive energy. That happens after transmutation, which is we take a lower energy and we move it into a higher. Then we have transformation, which is the form of our being starts to change. We start to operate at the form level. You can see the change in people. And then at the level of transfiguration, we're actually bringing in much higher frequency light and energy from even beyond our normal soul consciousness, even from beyond, you know, where we normally function at the highest level of our soul. We bring in this other higher light, which I call atomic light substance, and that comes into your whole being and really starts to raise your frequency at a whole nother dimensional level. So, does that help?
Yeah, that does. And so bringing in the word transformation, so that would that be with our bodies? Would that be the way to work on our bodies to be healthier?
Absolutely. You know, most people, when they start to wake up, they realize that their body's frequency, that it resonates on, is affected by what they take into their bodies. And by that I mean, of course, food and the quality and healthiness of the food they eat. But also, people aren't as quite aware of what you take into your emotional body and how, you know, what you allow in, what you give your attention to in the kind of books and movies and TV shows you watch, and what you take in there is just as important as the food you eat. In fact, in some ways, more important. And then the ideas that you actually focus on and the thoughts that you allow into your consciousness, that's also part of the transformational process. Really becoming very, very aware of what is going on in your mind. And when you see thoughts there you don't like, actually making a conscious effort to change them.
Yeah, we were speaking about that yesterday. Some of these video games that the teens are playing these days, where they're encouraging them to, you know, what was some of the violence, etc. I think that that's having an effect on the consciousness on the planet.
That's part of the cabal's MO. They do this. The media is right now under the control of the cabal for the most part, not completely, but very high percentage, and that's the kind of things they do: video games, all the movies that create fear and violence, and the underlying thing is to create the image of a human being as violent, filled with negative tendencies, untrustworthy, and, you know, governed by all these lower drives. And that creates an image so that people become fearful of other human beings, and therefore they don't cooperate. They don't trust each other. That's part of keeping us all split and separate so that our power is diluted.
So the image of a human being as a divine reflection, as a divine connected to the source, that image is something that maybe people need to identify with instead.
Absolutely. And that is the emerging image of the human being. We are divine beings. We are a part of God. We are God in essence, not to the same level of consciousness, but at the essence of our being, we are divine beings. The highest form of divine expression is creation. That's what God does. He creates. So we can create and express our divinity through our creation.
You know, if we're looking to the media for that, the media often creates an outside enemy or someone that we have to look outward, but isn't it something to look within to find the part that we can change?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing for all of us is to go deep within ourselves, to spend as much time as we can meditating, tuning into our own being. What do we feel about things? I always like to ask people, when you experience things, look at what raises your frequency? What makes you feel better after you've done it? And what lowers your frequency? And really paying very close attention to that is extremely helpful in knowing how to orient your attention in the world and keeping your attention within yourself to see how things are affecting you.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, speaking of peacefulness and the vibration, let's have a little music from the Sea of Tranquility. And when we come back, we're going to ask you a little bit about the Galactic Wars and the formation of the Alliance of Light. So we're back from the Sea of Tranquility. You can hear more of that Dove's music on the Earth Harmony channel. Gordon, could you tell us a little bit about the Galactic Wars and the formation of the Alliance of Light?
Yes. Well, our galaxy, for very long cycles of time, has been punctuated by interplanetary conflicts and wars. This went on for a long, long time in our galactic history. But eventually, however, the light forces gained supremacy, and they had formed many alliances in the process of these wars, and all those different existing alliances were woven together into the Galactic Alliance of Light, also known as the Galactics. The Light Alliance is an agreement to keep the peace and uphold the principles of freedom, self-chosen development and evolution of each planet and system, and friendly relations between all races and civilizations. That is the Galactic Alliance. So that has been very much present in our galaxy for a very long time. And that galaxy was protecting our Earth from the very beginning of its creation, which was such a place of such incredible physical beauty in abundance, and it was meant to be shared by all the lives on the planet. However, there was a time-space anomaly in a kind of warp in the continuum, and a group of aliens were able to enter into the planet and establish themselves here. But they were relatively quickly discovered by the Light Alliance Guardians, and a huge debate ensued whether they would be removed or allowed to stay here. And it was decided at the level of the Solar Council that they would be beneficial to have them here on the planet, as they would stimulate our evolution by causing us to make a choice between light and dark through our whole evolutionary history. And that is exactly what has occurred. So they've been here for a very long time, and they've organized themselves extremely well. And they enlisted many human beings as their cooperators and collaborators, because they had some powers that human beings do not have, such as telepathic control and a certain degree of prevision. And this allowed them to really set up systems where human beings helped them to set up these control systems.
Right, and you write in the book that the original alien group comprised of about 50 beings, and that they were not able to reproduce themselves. Did they interbreed with humans?
Yes, to a degree they did, yes. That's right, because they were shapeshifters.
So do people in general feel in their hearts and their souls the direction? Do they get telepathic messages to decide how to work with the Galactic Alliance and in cooperation? How does that communication work from this intergalactic council to individual humans like ourselves?
Yes, very good question. What happens and has been happening throughout our history, there have always been individuals who have been able to communicate telepathically with these higher galactic beings and the spiritual masters, of course, who are also helping and working for our planet. And so that's been going on for a long, long time. However, as we have evolved and as our frequency continues to rise, it becomes easier and easier for more people to make that contact and telepathic communication with both the Galactic Light Alliance, with the spiritual masters, and many other guides who are helping human evolution. So that's increasing rapidly. And there are people on the planet who have actually met in physical form galactic representatives. There have been some. Not, and that's also happening as well. And people have been taken onto ships and, you know, given information and vision of what their work is. That's also has happened. Not huge, but there has been quite a fair number amount of that. But the primary thing now is telepathic communication.
And I'm wondering about the other dimensions. Is you know how nature sort of is in charge of this material world that we see, and patterns such as rainfall creating rivers and canyons, and the rivers create the canyons, and that's centuries and centuries of patterns. Is there things like that in the other dimensions where energies create rivers of thoughts and rivers of actions? Or how does that work?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, Christ said, you know, in my Father's house there are many mansions. And what he meant was there are so many dimensions that are present there on the inner planes, a vast number of them, at different frequencies. And you know, so people who, whatever resonance frequency you're holding in your normal thought patterns and your feeling patterns as you go through your life, those are the dimensions that you will naturally resonate with on the inner plane. So that determines where you go at night when you sleep. It also determines where you go when you pass, when you leave the body. That dimension that you're naturally of resonant frequency with, that's where you will be focusing in at those times.
Right.
And so that's an important consideration in terms of, you know, planning your future.
So, like, mansions sounds like dimensions. That's a very similar word.
Yes, exactly. So, in each of them has, you know, specific function. There are many levels on the etheric level, many levels on the astral plane, where people, whatever they desire to experience is what they'll experience, and many levels of thought and insight on the mental plane and on the spiritual planes. It becomes revelation of greater and greater poles and greater plans and vision of what life is all about.
Gordon, you share in your book that these dark ones began their controlling influences back in Lemuria. Now, I was born in Fiji, and I grew up in New Zealand and Australia, which I believe is the remnant of what was long ago a huge continent named Lemuria. Mm-hmm. And you write about how the cabal back in Lemuria employed psychotronic technologies using combined psychic and technological means on the inner planes to create veils around the planet. What was the reason that they wanted to do this?
Well, because they wanted to make it very difficult for human beings to access the spiritual source directly. The whole idea is to create a shield between us and the higher dimensions. So it would be very difficult for people to make that connection. Because the more we make those connections, the more we realize, you know, we don't have to be in fear. We don't have to follow all and submit to all this control. We become autonomous, spiritual, liberated human beings. That's exactly what the cabal does not want.
Right.
So they tried to shield and make that connection more difficult than it has to be.
Right. So the presence of the Dark Ones in Lemuria resulted in conflicts between Lemuria and Atlantis and Lemurian civilization disappearing and Atlantis becoming corrupted and destroyed. Was the fall of Atlantis the flood described in the Bible?
Yes, exactly. What happened in Atlantis was the civilization became so corrupted that it was not salvageable. Because the dark forces infiltrated all the systems and the priesthood and every dimension of society, and a decision was made at a very high level that the civilization had to be eliminated in order to cleanse all of the corruption.
You describe the efforts of the galactics and other light forces to intervene in our world. Can you elaborate in this in regards to chemtrails and Fukushima in Japan?
Yes, we have had. These chemtrails going for quite some time, at least in the areas that I'm in touch with, they have been diminishing. And that's a very important sign that the cabal is losing its power and losing its resources. The intention of them was to actually chemical and particles and things into the atmosphere that interfere with our health and with our well-being. However, the galactics have been very actively neutralizing all these negative effects for a long, long time. And there are actually videos I'm sure you know of on the internet where you can see the chemtrails and you see the little galactic orbs going in and cleaning up the mess and neutralizing it. And they have been doing that, and they continue to do that. And the chemtrails themselves are diminishing, for sure. With Fukushima, they also, of course, have the technology to neutralize radiation, and they have been doing that. And although they're still working on that, it's not totally completely neutralized, but it is far, far reduced than what it would have been if there was no help from the galactics. And I've been told that they will be successful at neutralizing all that radiation.
How can a person heal the fear of darkness within and in the world using the power of love?
Well, love, of course, is the most powerful energy in our system. And when we connect with that, it's like a matrix that we actually can connect into through the different portals in our being and realize that that matrix of love extends throughout our entire human community, throughout the planet and the solar system, galaxy. It goes on and on. In order to utilize that in our own being, the place where people suffer the most with these tendencies that they don't want to have in them is because they're patterns in the subconscious that are present, which interfere with being able to fully implement your higher vision for your life. I've done a tremendous amount of work with this over the last 10 years of helping people clear and remove the patterns in their subconscious that actually are causing them difficulties. And that has to do with learning to love your subconscious, to actually understand that it is a wonderful part of you. It's always trying to help you, but some of the ways it tries to help you are not always really truly beneficial.
Is there a symbol that we could use to communicate to our subconscious, such as the ocean and the vastness of it?
Well, In my experience, and I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people all over the world, the most powerful thing you can do to communicate with your subconscious is to send it love. And that means send love from your heart, bringing in the soul energy, bringing in your heart, and then sending that love down to your solar plexus center, because that's where the subconscious communicates with you. And actually radiate that love and appreciate your subconscious for all it's doing to try and help you, and have gratitude for it. It really responds to that. And you can open up a line of communication that allows you then to process and work with whatever patterns you are finding difficulties with in your daily life.
That seems really good insight. As far as other people, sometimes we're relating to them not even on their conscious level, but they're also their subconscious level. Is that something we can do to each other?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the more we are in a good, positive relationship with our subconscious and really in communication with it, the more your subconscious will start to transform and become more light. And when you contact other people, their subconscious is always connecting with yours. So when they see your subconscious has got more light within it and is happier, they will want what you've got. How did your subconscious get to be so happy? Their subconscious will really want to spend more time with you and interact with you, because it's learning by observing your subconscious.
So there's a part of all of us that is intelligent, looking to be happier, and when we see something that seems that we want, something we would want make us happier, then we try to figure out how to employ that.
Yes, exactly. And your subconscious does want you to be happy. It wants you to be. It's also very concerned about you being safe, secure, and not experiencing any harm. So it's always trying to protect you. Well, and that's a useful function.
Gordon, I understand from your book the decree stating Earth and humanity must be freed from control of the dark forces. How has this process been going, do you think?
Oh, it's going fantastically well. Now, keeping in mind that the media is controlled by the cabal still, underneath the surface, there is a tremendous amount going on in implementing this plan to free us from all this control. Of course, you know, as I saw in one of your videos about the financial control system through the Federal Reserve and all the other kinds of things that are being done with finances. That is one of the primary areas where this whole struggle is oriented. And there has been a tremendous amount of upheaval and transformation going on in the financial system. And just as a fact that's very interesting, in the last 2.5 years, over 2,000 CEOs, CFOs, and other leaders in the financial world, hedge funds, banks, mutual funds, all these things, have either resigned, been indicted, or disappeared. That is 10 times the norm, the rate of turnover. And that's because there's so much pressure from the Light Alliance being put on the financial leaders to change and to move into this new system where we will eliminate interest-based money. We will have a whole new way of organizing our banks. They will no longer be for-profit companies. They will be, no longer be profit companies. They will be like public utilities, and they will actually function in a completely different way. And we will eliminate the interest-based currency from our system, which is one of the most profound ways that the control is exercised. The Light Alliance is working in every field, in every part of human culture and civilization. And there are many, many people, some of whom I know, are working behind the scenes, setting up the plans and the ways of implementing the new civilization once we are ready for this.
Now, in your book, you write about a new currency, the golden real, a gold-backed mm-hmm. currency. Could you speak about this?
Yes, that's the idea, that we would have a new currency backed by gold and commodities that would actually... All national currencies would be convertible into this new currency, but it would stabilize the whole financial world system, because it would be a very solid, stable, predictable currency that we can all rely on, and we would not have all the speculation and games being played with different currencies around the world.
Now, people have wondered if there would be a distribution of funds to help humanity. Do you foresee this?
Yes, that is what I did receive that very, very clearly. And the huge amounts of money that have been confiscated illegally by the cabal and through their manipulation of the different systems, including the financial system, that massive accumulation of money, and I'm talking about quadrillions and quintillions of dollars, would be confiscated and made available to help the basic regeneration and rebuilding of the earth, provide housing, food, shelter, health care, education to every single human being on the planet.
So I think we'll take a little break. We're going to listen to some more music from the Earth Harmony Channel. And when we come back, I'm going to be asking you about the Light Alliance and the Day of Revelation.
Yes.
And now we're back in the studio with Gordon, and we've had two Perfect Change members join us, Raisa and Sophia. Welcome. Gordon, in your book, you write about the Light Alliance and the Day of Revelation. What is the Day of Revelation? And I'm wondering if this ties into what Cobra calls the event, and many other people are calling the event. Can you elaborate?
Yes, yes. Well, what I've received is that there is a very extensive plan that is already done by many, many nations all around the world, including some heads of state and other world leaders, for the transition into this new whole new way of organizing our planet, a whole new civilization. And of course, making this transition is very challenging because there's a lot of systems to manage to shift it. What I'm getting is that the Day of Revelation is going to be determined by a specific time when there is going to be a release of energy, which will be determined by the Solar Council, to our planet, which is going to be the most complete and high frequency release of love we've ever seen on this planet. And it is going to move the raise the frequency to a very high degree. And that's determined by the Solar Council, so that's why it's not really clear, even to the masters, and at least in my communication, exactly when this is going to happen. But it is not going to be, you know, decades in the future. This is coming. And so what happens is when that energy floods the planet with this very powerful love energy, anyone who is not able to vibrate to the frequency of love, who is not able to at least understand that love is a fundamental principle. People don't have to be perfectly loving and all you know, saints or anything like that. But anyone who is able to recognize love as a frequency and work with it will be able to accept and absorb and work with this energy. Those people who are not able to do that, just because they are not in that reality, that frequency, that's not their experience, they're locked into all the lower 3D patterns, will not be able to remain on this planet.
So is it challenging for people sometimes to experience this love frequency, which seems to be a real thing because we get caught into emotions and dramas and things like that. Is there a way to still ourselves and actually experience this
freedom? Yes, yes. And that's why, of course, meditating, allowing this love energy to flow through you even now, all the time, as much as you possibly can, which also helps to cleanse and remove and purify those other lower tendencies which we get caught up in. That's very, very useful to do, as well as working directly with those patterns, as I was suggesting earlier. But when that love energy really pours into the planet, there's going to be that's the day of revelation. That is when we will see who is vibrating and capable of vibrating at that level at all, even the slightest bit, or those who are completely locked into hatred and violence and all the other things that are going on here. They will not be able to remain on the planet.
So love is something that, as is within, in the kingdom of God is within, so it also is coming from external sources too.
Well, yes, in a sense, but of course, what is external to us? If our consciousness is really comprehensive, it's all within us too, right?
That's right.
So, Gordon, in your book, you write, on the day of revelation, there will be a worldwide holiday and announcements will be made from a central location, possibly at the United Nations or another site. Could you comment on that, please?
Yes. I mean, the thing that humanity suffers from now is massive amounts of disinformation, which has caused tremendous confusion in humanity about what is happening in the world right now. Where is this all going? That's really clear. What will happen is there will be a very clear statement made to all the media simultaneously worldwide about exactly what is happening when this occurs, what its purpose is, what its intention is, and to actually reassure people about the benevolent intention. And this will be worldwide in many, many languages. There also will be a continuous broadcasting of over 40 hours of pre-recorded media explaining this will be done by the Galactic Light Alliance and the Masters, explaining the entire hidden history of our world, of our Earth, what has happened, explaining what the cabal is and how it has done maintain its control, and what is happening now and where it is intended to go, so that people will no longer be operating in this confused, deliberately misleading situation where they don't have clear information about anything. It's just a big mishmash, and people have to sort through this massive amount of stuff on the internet, three-quarters of which is disinformation, and then try to figure out what's true in that. And it's so difficult for people to get any clarity. So this will be all cleared up. So there will no longer be this kind of confusion, which will be tremendously liberating. The other important thing that will be really liberating is if people know that they're going to have enough to take care of their financial needs, and that they will be provided for. And if we take interest out of money, the price of everything on the planet will drop by 50%, because 50% of the cost of everything is interest. When that happens, plus people have more money available to them, and they know this is going to continue, what does that do? It eliminates the subconscious survival fear which drives the planet and is causing so much anxiety and fear, and gives the dark side an ability to control humanity. When that survival fear is gone, that's the real moment when we will experience what it means to be truly liberated. And that's going to happen.
So is any of this being implemented gradually?
Right. Well, we've already had, there are funds which I've been involved in, where there are people loan money to developing countries at a very low or no interest. That's part of it. There are people who are providing, resources worldwide for development in developing countries. There's so much going on in this realm. It's huge. Loan funds and community banking, where they loan money to women to create businesses. All this stuff is going on. So this is all part of it.
Gordon, I'd like to share with our listeners a little bit more on this from your book. You write, at the moment of the announcements, all actions needed to implement the changes will already be underway. This will include changing the banking system and arresting politicians and other corrupt leaders and officials. After a short period when all systems are closed, the entire world financial system will reopen on the new financial basis outlined earlier, with all, and you mentioned this, all interest-based money, financial derivatives, and other corrupt banking practices eliminated. All is intended to be as seamless as possible with a minimum of disruptions, and this is likely to be the case. It is not expected that there will be any major paranoid reaction to the financial reorganization once the terms of the new system are announced and people see its benevolent intent. Those who are aware of the plan can be talking about it with others in advance if there is openness and opportunity. Once the revelation of the plan begins, it will be the time for full sharing of all we understand.
That's it.
That's it.
So that's what you're all about, what you're doing, right? You're preparing people for that.
Preparing people for change. And there are other groups all over the world that are feeling this energy and that are already being the change that they wish to see in the world. They're actually being it right now. Dove, you wanted to say something.
Well, then banks would earn money and profit other than interest.
They would charge a fee for a loan. But a very reasonable fee. I mean, compared to what it is now, of course, where you pay, if you buy a house with a 30-year mortgage, you pay for the house three times over, and that's just not going to be there anymore. And so, they will be like public utilities. They're not trying to make huge profits. They're just trying.
Won't have to have, $30 million bonuses, things like that.
Exactly. That's completely corrupt, and it has not. And all that money that they're being paid is being taken from people through interest, and that is completely corrupt. And that's going to go. And so people will be able to get a reasonable salary to live on. They will function like public utilities, good ones. I mean, we have public utilities that aren't doing that well either. But that will change. And there will be, only the banks will be only charging fees rather than massive interest.
Now, many people such as David Wilcox have been writing and speaking about mass arrests of key figures for quite some time. What do you see happening in this regard?
Well, it's very interesting because in my book, that book is based on a series of teleseminars that I gave over about a year. And in the beginning, there was a lot of talk of mass arrest. Later on, as we moved through the process, there was less and less emphasis on the mass arrests. And because if this day of revelation, as it comes down the way I'm describing it, there won't be a need for mass arrests. Because the people who do not vibrate at the frequency of love will not be able to remain on this planet. And by that, I mean that they will pass out into other dimensions. They will be moved to locations on the inner planes where they can evolve at the frequency level where they are.
Right, and that probably goes along with 9/11 and other things that have been done to societies, that eventually love is not only does it create something that we want, but it also takes care of what we don't want.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. That's absolutely right. Yes.
Gordon, can you talk about developments in the media, such as in your book you write about WikiLeaks' exposure of the details of the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations, which showed that the proposed agreement would only give more power to corporations and eliminate environmental and other protections?
That's right. That's right. And that is one of many, many schemes that the whole cabal has been trying to put into place for a very long time, as there are many others. And that one is falling apart now because of the rift between the European Union community and the U.S. And I just read something today that partnership now looks like it's not going anywhere. And that's because the upheaval that's going on in the financial world, which is in dire straits because it doesn't have the money any longer. They cannot keep printing or creating the money on computers as they have been because the Light Alliance has gained more and more foothold and control in the financial system and has shut off the sources of their funding. That's why there's such a huge crisis in the financial system.
Can you give us a little bit of clue of how the wars are going to cease and how all that huge resources that's going towards that, that's taking away from what could be helping people and protecting our environment. What's the process of ending war?
Well, there's something very interesting has just happened. I don't know if you saw this, but some of the leader of ISIS, the group in the Middle East, had a vision of Muhammad came to him and told him they should withdraw from the Mosul, I think it is, the big capital of their new caliphate. And that is one of the ways they're being directed inwardly to, you know, basically stand down. And that is in process now. And also, you know, it's going to be, if that love energy floods the planet, people who cannot vibrate with it will not be here. Once that's established, you know, the idea of going to war will be ludicrous as it always has been, but people will fully understand that it's ludicrous and it's not in any kind of higher plan for us or the right thing ever.
Gordon, we're coming to the end of our interview today, but I wanted to close with this beautiful passage from your book. You wrote, "Once a sense of safety, security, and well-being is established, many of the unresolved subconscious issues within humanity will be lessened in their intensity. There'll be classes helping people to understand their own nature, how to improve themselves, grow spiritually, and become happier and more productive contributors to the whole. Then these will be established in every country." Wow, Gordon, that would be amazing. What other changes, positive changes, do you see taking place?
Oh, there's so many. One of the key things that will happen at this time will be the emphasis on the regeneration and reconstruction of our planet in the ecological systems. So there will be a huge work done to clean up the oceans, clean up the waters all everywhere, to clean up the environment everywhere, and to rebuild and re-garden the whole planet. If we have free energy, which we will, then we will be able to create salinization plants all over the world, have plenty of water to turn the Middle East into a garden, to turn the whole world into a beautiful garden, and restore the planet to what it has meant to be in its beautiful, pristine condition, with the help of the galactics who have the technology to purify and remove all this pollution. And they will.
And what do you feel is the role of Russia, of Putin in Russia?
Putin is very controversial, and I understand that. And he is a being who is fully aware of the Light Alliance, and he is participating in it. He of course, has been smeared by the West and Western press. He has a certain kind of nationalistic element in his being where he wants to have Russia reassert itself, you know, in that way. But he does understand the whole dynamic of the Light Alliance, the Cabal, and all the rest. And he is working in support of it. And the whole story of the Crimea is very different than what is portrayed in the West. And we don't have time to go into it, but it is really was an attempt by the Cabal to get their hands on the resources of the Crimea through this government they were trying to establish. So there is a lot of complexity in it, but he is basically in the Light Alliance, and the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are actually the foundation point for building the new financial system. And we've just had the wonderful news that Italy, Germany, France, and Britain have now joining the Chinese in their new bank, their International Development Bank, to work with them, which sounds the death knell for the IMF and is a major step in creating this new financial system.
I agree with you there, Gordon. If people would like to learn more, I think they could visit www.worldtransformation.com.
No, World Transfiguration.
Worldtransfiguration.com. And how can people purchase the book that we were speaking about today, The Transfiguration of Our World?
The Transfiguration of Our World book is available on Amazon, and the new edition just came out, so they'll get the second edition, which is expanded with 4 additional chapters. And I also have a teleseminar that's ongoing. It's been going for a while, and you can participate at any time. I have videos and transcripts of all the sessions, which you would get if you're interested. And to find out about that, you can go to worldtransfiguration.com, and there's all the information is there about it.
Well, it's been an absolute delight to speak with you today via Skype with Dove in the studio. And we both want to thank you and the whole entire roundtable of Prepare for a Change. We'd like to thank you, and perhaps we could have you come back and speak with us on a future show.
I would love to, and I just want to say how much I appreciate all of what you are doing as your group. And I read your website and listened to the videos, and I think you guys are doing great work. And it's very aligned with everything that I'm getting, and I feel like we are totally in sync and in the same vision and future and purpose for our planet. So
thank you. And on that note, I'd like to end with Dove's beautiful global anthem, Voices of the World. Dove, did you want to say something?
We'll play that. And thank you, Gordon. I appreciate you holding the vision for us all of a brighter world.
Thank you.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Spirit lifts us high.